Welcome back. At a time when DEI initiatives are under attack, philanthropic giving is shrinking, and arts funding for historically underrepresented communities is on the chopping block, there's help and there's an answer. Joining us this morning is the executive director for the IFF Chicago Metro Region to talk about some that's happening in this space and what they're doing to participate. Vicki Lakes Battle, welcome back to WBON.
Good morning, Rufus. Thank you for having me again.
It's always good to have you. Talk to us about what's going on in arts funding and why it is impacting the BIPOC-led communities more so than others.
Well, you know, I think that one of the things is that the federal funding landscape, the local funding landscape, there's just so much uncertainty in the world in general, but particularly as it relates to the arts. I was reading an article over the weekend about some changes and termination of more grants, even with the National Endowment of the Arts. And while the local art scene may or may not see its connectivity to these bigger, broader initiatives, we're going to feel the impact, right? And so when we think about the, you know, organizations that are rooted in BIPOC traditions, one of the things that we have to keep in mind is that they historically have just not been funded at the same level as organizations that have celebrated more Eurocentric and European artistic forms. Does that make sense?
Of course, everything you say makes sense. But when we think about it, you know, this whole push, and where it's really at most levels frustrating, but it also says we've got one to shore ourselves up as we fight against what else is there. And a lot of what you all are doing there is really to helping to shore up where this gap is. But you've been doing that for a while. It just stands out more greatly this year. Talk about, if you would, Chicago's cultural treasures and what you're doing there to help support these organizations.
Yes, so in 2021, Chicago Cultural Treasures was launched, and you recall what was happening in 2021. There was the pandemic, and while this effort was never intended to be pandemic relief, but more of a demonstration and a call to action even back then around the necessity to fund artistic expressions that are rooted in BIPOC traditions, several funders got together and created a pool of funds that we distributed as really significantly sized grants. And we did an open call, and we then landed on 40 organizations that received grants proportionate to their size. So back then, we had organizations where the gift or the grant from Chicago Cultural Treasures was, in some instances, the first grant that they'd ever received. With the first round of grant making, we distributed about $11 million, about $14 million. And we had organizations that were, again, rooted in BIPOC artistic forms that ranged from $11 million budgets to $39,000 budgets. And the amount of the grants back then made up for anywhere between 20% to 520% of their annual budget. Those are real dollars, and it was game-changing money at a time when the world was in a state that the most citizens and most folks in the world had never experienced, being the pandemic. And now fast forward, where we're making the final round of gifts, totaling $3 million to 77 organizations. We announced them on April 28th. There will be, these gifts will make it to the bank by the end of this month. But we find ourselves at yet another one of these points in time where the funding landscape, for just general reasons, is very uncertain. And so these funds were never intended to solve for this. The total intent of this program was to inspire action by a broader philanthropic community, government, to actually think more expansively about who was in the in crowd for artistic funding, and to actually illustrate that there are treasures that reside outside of even downtown Chicago.
You know, it's hard to keep making progress when different things keep pulling you back, but the gap that you fill just becomes that much more important, particularly when you talk about an organization with a $39,000 budget, anything they get, they could really, really use, because you can't do a whole lot with that. We should probably step back, Vicki, and help people understand again who IFF is and what it is that you do there.
So IFF itself is a over three decade old organization that supports the nonprofit community through the lens of facilities and finance. What we do is we make loans to nonprofit organizations. We provide real estate consulting services to organizations that have newly discovered spatial needs, or whether it's remodeling their space, moving to new space, constructing new buildings, et cetera. We also develop properties. We have some different initiatives. We're partnered. Our sister organization is the Foundation for Home and Square in North Lawndale. But we also have a portfolio of properties under the banner Home First, where we construct and operate housing or affordable housing for folks with physical disabilities. So it's really difficult to talk about IFF, because what we consider ourselves to be are true nonprofit partners. We try to walk alongside our nonprofit partners to have them express their needs in their terms, and then we take it very seriously that it's our role, our obligation, our responsibility to try to translate those needs into actions. And I say that, Rufus, because a program like Chicago's Cultural Treasures, you wouldn't think of IFF as the natural home for it, but when we think about the nonprofit landscape in general, we're already in touch. We're embedded in this region in community, and what Chicago's Cultural Treasures is about is really showcasing and highlighting the richness and the depth of the artistic landscape that's entrenched and embedded in largely BIPOC communities.
Thank you for that. Just to jump right to my next question and answer that, I appreciate that. When we think about what is happening in this country right now, and I began by talking about DEI initiatives under attack, are you sensing or feeling that from the work that you do and the work that you're doing with these organizations as well?
To say yes. I mean, it's undeniable. You know, I have the privilege of serving the Chicago metro region, so a good chunk just geographically is the city of Chicago. So with any urban area, then you are running across people of different ethnicities and national origin. And because IFF is largely focused on organizations that deal with health and human services and provide much needed services to the community, yes, you know, we're up close and personal. You know, some of the questions that are arising in this moment are for organizations that are rooted in these traditions, cultural traditions. This is beyond just being relegated to a DEI bucket. A lot of these organizations were started out of a lack of access or a lack of opportunity. And so this becomes a broader discussion about identity.
Which is what... For whatever the reasons, the heat comes from Washington about identity itself, because they're only trying to see one, which makes it so much more critically important. We'll talk more about what's going on with these grants, Chicago Cultural Treasures, that IFF is managing when we come back. More with Vicki Lakes Battle, the executive director for IFF's Metro Chicago Metro Region. So, let's get back to our conversation that we're having with Vicki Lakes Battle. She's the executive director for IFF's Chicago Metro Region, talking about Chicago's cultural treasures and what they're doing to help indigenous BIPOC art communities with their funding. I want to go back, Vicki, to really elevate that, because 77 organizations are going to benefit from the efforts that you all have put forward to give out money.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Rufus, when I first came on your show in February, it was to encourage organizations who self-identified as being an arts and culture organization rooted in BIPOC traditions. And I want to tell you that people apparently heard the call, and we had just an overwhelming number of applicants. At the time, we didn't know what to expect, so we anticipated that we'd make grant awards in the range of $50,000 to $60,000. We ended up making, because the pot that was available was $3 million. And so we ended up making a total of 59 grants. I mean, we were giving 59 gifts of $50,000, and we're giving an additional 18 gifts of $4,400. So it's a total of 77 organizations across the great city of Chicago's metro region. And it's a really important point to say that, because this was not just Chicago-centric. With this particular round, we were able even to push beyond just city of Chicago boundaries. And we're really proud of that.
And you should be. That is fantastic. And these grants that are being given, are they restricted in any way? Are they supposed to do something based on what you all have, or are these unrestricted grants?
So in this case, the words really matter. These are gifts, right? So part of what comes with it's an unconditional gift for organizations to use as they please. You know, it is our hope that the recipient organizations will just do whatever it is that they need to do to keep up the stellar programming that they offer. To, you know, some of them want to fix up the spaces that they occupy, and then others just have dreams about shoring up some things operationally. So no reporting. It's just money in the bank that just acknowledges and celebrates just who the organizations are, and it hopefully gives them a little bit of money to help them keep moving forward.
Let me say this, as one who has been the president of a not-for-profit and been the board chair on the board of others, there is no better gift than that. To be able to receive it, to be able to do what you do with it, and the lack of having to go back and say these are all the things that we did and be judged on that. I mean, it's wonderful to those who were able to receive these grants. Congratulations to them, and congratulations to you for doing this. Part and parcel of this conversation that we had earlier on, though, is this is not just a gift to these people from the Chicago Forward, or Culture Chicago Forward, but it really is a call to others to try and help. Talk about that a bit more, if you would.
So, I mean, the premise of Chicago's Cultural Treasures was to experiment with a form of grant making that, you know, once celebrated arts and culture organizations steeped in BIPOC traditions, because they weren't on a lot of folks' radars, right? As I mentioned, many of the organizations, and especially with this last round, had never received any type of philanthropic contribution. And so the idea was not to just give out money for the sake of giving out money, but to learn from this process and to urge philanthropy broadly and government to consider organizations such as the Chicago Cultural Treasures and Culture Forward Chicago gift recipients, to consider them for ongoing funding support. So it's a combination of things. If I had to think of a call to action, yes, it's to philanthropy. Yes, it's to government to do more and to consider arts and culture not a luxury, but a necessity. And to your listening public and the public at large, to take a look at the website and to start, you know, spending money and patronizing these local organizations. A lot of us are engaging with many of these agencies and organizations, and we don't know it. They're operating programs in our schools. They might be behind some type of community festival or community engagement. And so if nothing else, we need to do more to make these organizations visible, and we can all invest in their long-term success.
So important. And as you point out, there were so many that came even beyond what you would have expected, that the need is clearly there, and the need is growing as we see the pullback on so many things happening from the federal government. And these issues, the issues that you do with housing, the issues that you do in working with these underrepresented communities, and the need to really preserve culture and history could not be greater than it is today.
Mm-hmm.
It is a...
Go
on, please. Love to hear from you.
No, I just couldn't agree more. I think at a time when there's the contemplation of the, you know, the erasure of, you know, certain aspects of our history, that the need to celebrate the culture keepers, the culture bearers, there's an urgency about this moment.
Indeed. Well, keep doing what you're doing. There are 77 organizations rooted in African, Asian, Black, Indigenous, and Latin American traditions that are receiving these vital financial gifts, totaling $3 million through the new Culture Forward Chicago initiative. managed through, handled by none other than Vicki Lakes Battle, the executive director for IFF's Chicago Metro Region. Vicki, thank you so much for coming back on and sharing with us what happened after you were on last time. We appreciate you.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
You too.